Amen. Amen. I would apologize for getting this excited, but if you've been through some stress like I've been through, when things didn't go your way, the only thing you can depend on is Jesus. People have let me down before. Matter of fact, I've let myself down. But the one person that has never let me down is Jesus. On my worst day, he's there. My absolute worst day, he's there. As a matter of fact, even when I don't want him to be there, Andre, you ever just feel low and just feel lonely and you want to be that way? You're angry, you want to be angry for. Matter of fact, some people will tell you it's therapeutic. Bible said, be angry and sin not. He's right there with you. Regardless of whatever it is you're going through, I want you just receive. If you get nothing else from today, Jesus is with me. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. All right, it's 12:26. All right, here we go. I feel like that every time I speak, that clock just moved very fast. I don't know what Jason is doing with the clock. All right, so I quickly want to do something. She's not in here. Somebody grab her real quick. Annalise, just grab her real quick. She was in here. She stepped outside. I made a promise last week. Annalise and Ani. Ani's not here, but we're going to do it nonetheless. Annalise and Ani entered into, they did a competition. Bible bow, right? And these two kids got up and they went and they represented and they placed third. And when Ani comes through that door, I know we gave her a round of applause last week, but I want us to one more time give her a round of applause. And I did ask, I said, look out, look out. And I told her, I told them, I'm like, somebody's going to bless you. Somebody's going to bless you. So the amazing news is somebody did bless. Somebody did bless bless them. So I want to invite her to run up here to receive this blessing. And listen, if you got blessings too, you know what I'm saying? You want to bless even some more, you can. Don't let me stop you. Where is she at? Is she coming? Oh, she all right. All right. So while she is coming, let me also say this. Ella Sterling is also not here. Could you grab Ella Sterling as well? Okay. All right. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Everybody's all right? Just real quick. If this is the first time, if this is your first time here, just raise your hand real quick. First time here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right. I know your name's Andrea. All right, we met, we spoke. What's your name? Yes. Sharma, where are you from? All right. So Sharma, we don't have lunch today, right? And you live close by. Next week, we're going to have lunch for you. So I want you to come back next week. Don't let us cook this food and you don't show up. All right? I want you to come back next week. And we'll have lunch to you. We'll eat together and talk and be merry. Cool? And now who's this beside you? I figured. I didn't want to guys. Okay, mommy, what's your name? Dean. All right. Mommy, are you also local? You from Boston? I pray the warmth over you today. Yes. All right. Well, we're gonna give her two plates. Two fish. She's gonna eat for you next week. All right. And oh, so okay. All right. Well, we play cousins. We cousins. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Right. Daff is bad company. Don't keep company with Daff. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, it's good to have you guys here. Thank you all for being here today. All right, let me come over here with the miracle work. I'm going to start with you, man. What's your name? Gregory. And you're local, Gregory? All right, so just for you. Listen. We're not going to do it for nobody else. For you, We're having a celebration next week. All right? A matter of fact, Charmaine, Sister Charmaine in the back. Wave your hand, Sister Charmaine. Wave your hand. Sister Charmaine, what's your favorite cake? What's your favorite cake? Vanilla. Sister Charmaine is going to bring a vanilla cake for you. All right? All right? So, and so I want you to come. No, no, he got to show up. You know, you got to show up. You got to show up. All right? So next week, come through. We're going to get a cake. What's this young man? So you family, I saw Lisa, you know, almost cried up here just because, you know, you showed up, man. Yeah, yeah. What's your name? Jordan. Appreciate you being here. Jordan, you local? All right, so we will have a celebration for you because you're family. You know what I'm saying? We cousins and stuff. So we don't, I'm kidding. We're happy to have you. Thank you for being here. You're special. Thank you so much. And who is this young lady beside you? Amber. Amber, are you look like you're local. Used to be local is what I, no, you're not? You're not local? Oh, okay. So you, right. So I'm saying you look very comfortable like you, you know, you just went up the street, just came down. All right. So listen, we're going to celebrate with him next week. And he needs some guests. So I'm going to invite you on behalf of him. All right. So you got to show up for him. And what, don't let him be alone eating that cake. Okay. All right. And then what's your name? It's one more time. Maddie. Oh, Betty. Betty. Betty, you local? You go to school here?
No.
Where you from, Betty?
I'm from New Mexico.
You from New Mexico? So how long are you here for?
Tomorrow.
Wow. Wow. Well, listen. Travel safe. Thank you for being here. We hope you're blessed today. And whenever you're in this area, come back. If you... All right. Yeah, you want to be online? You can be a virtual member. You know what I'm saying? We got virtual members, so you can be a virtual... You can watch two churches. It's fine. It's okay. Yeah, all the videos are on YouTube. You can go and comment after. It's fine. You can do that. So, well, we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for being here. And Falco, salute you, sir. Sasha and Andrea. I want to say Andrea as well. I want to say Andrea is from South Africa. And so I just want to say welcome. If you come back next week. We'll have, you like chocolate cake? We'll have chocolate cake. It's not chocolate. Vanilla cake. You know what I'm saying? Well, I want to encourage you. I want to thank you guys for coming and whatnot. Amoy in the back, thank you for being here as well. All right, so now the guests are here. All right, Annalise, run up here real quick. Remember, I told you guys, as she's coming, what y'all do? All right. And so we're blessing her with $25. They're blessing you $25 for doing your absolute best in that competition. Come on, put your hands together again for her. All right. So the next time when Ani's here, Ani, if you're watching, I'm going to hold this right next to my heart for you. Also, I want to acknowledge real quick before I get started, I'll probably get in trouble, but this it is what it is. I'll take the whooping. You know, this young lady, literally, Daff mentioned that, you know, we lost Sister Singh, and she literally was the hands and feet. There are times when, you know, she showed God's love to this lady in frustration Monday through Sunday sometimes. And it was not easy. And so I just want to acknowledge Elder Sterling right now for the love that you, and I know she thinks this is what I'm supposed to do. That's what she's going to say. You know, I don't need acknowledgement for this. But the fact of the matter is, there are so many people that need loved ones to show up. They just need them to show up and be present and to know that when, I'm going to include myself, a lot of us didn't show up for Sister Singh, that you did. I want to say on behalf of the entire church, thank you. Thank you. All right, that's it. So I'm going to jump into this word real quick. I was I was going to do a little bit of divide and separation, but I won't do that. I'm not going to do that today. I was going to separate the men and the women, have the men on one side and the women on the other side. But we're not going to do that. I don't think we have enough time. But I quickly want you to stand with me as we read this text. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And I want everybody to read aloud. Very powerful, very strong. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. All right, here we go. After 3. 1, 2, 3.
And
All right. Okay. Let's do it for real. Okay? All right. Let's do it for real. Let's read it with conviction. Here we go. After 3, 1, 2, 3.
Mhm.
I want us to read that one more time, right? Right? So here we go. After 3, 1, 2, 3. Stop. When we say this part here, I want everything you have. You know what I'm saying? When somebody's lost, or you think they are, and you're searching for them, you know, you shout. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. I want you keep it just like you did, but the Lord, nice. When we get to where are you, I want to hear that question, okay? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Where are you?
No. All right, let's go again from but. But when you get to where are you, let's hear an emphasis. Let's hear a shout. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. From but. Yes, put your hands together. Thank you. My topic today is we need to talk. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
we need to talk.
Turn to the other neighbor and say,
neighbor,
we need to talk.
We need to talk.
Yes. Can we talk for a minute? Yes, we need to talk. This, Randall, is frightening for many persons. Many would say, men especially. When you hear this from your significant other, Kevin, we need to talk. Many, maybe most, immediately experience anxiety. We need to talk about what? You immediately think you did or did not do something. As I contemplated this message, it took me back to Barracks Road Primary in St. James, Montego Bay, St. James. Grade 3, Miss Mayhew class. I sat at the front to the left. And my very good friend, best friend at the time, his name was Adriel Valentine. And as I was sitting in class one, I believe it's Tuesday morning, Adriel tapped me on my shoulder, and Adriel said, I got a note for you, here. Gave me a note. I asked him who this note was from, Kevin. And he told me, a little shorty in the back. And I was like, all right. And I opened the note. And this, it was very similar to this. I like you. Do you like me? Yes or no? And as I thought about this message, I remembered very clearly this experience because even though I was a child, the message that was given to me, Andre, on this note was very clear. Message was very clear. There are some things that as a child we should have brought into adulthood. And some of us, we talk, but we talk around the bush. Some of us, we talk, but we talk in more parables than Jesus. Some of us, we talk, and there's absolutely, matter of fact, when we're done talking and we ask, what you mean? You don't even know what you mean. I like this. It's very clear because it says what it means, and it means what it says. I like you. Do you like me? Yes or no? There's not a box there. Let me pray about it. There's not a box there that says maybe. There's not an other. You know that other? You know the other? Y'all don't know other? Okay. Y'all haven't done any job applications yet, y'all. Other. It's very clear. There are just some things that I believe we should have, you know, we should have. A matter of fact, I'll say this. There are some things, while God, I believe Jesus did not mean this in practice, there are some things I believe in principle that we should adopt so that we can gain that kingdom benefit, those benefits from being a Christian. Can you think back for a second when you were a child? You know, one of the things I'm not going to lie, I admire it, but sometimes it's frustrating. Children are resilient. You can't tell a child that he or she can't do. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about a child. I'm talking about like a three-year-old, a four-year-old. You cannot tell them, they will not, if it's a little hoop and they have a little ball, and they will not stop shooting until they make it. One of the things we should have brought from childhood to adulthood is there, one of the things that I find sometimes annoying, a child's imagination. But if only as adults, if we had that same imagination, I believe some of the things that we stress about, we wouldn't. A child has the ability to literally imagine something that is unrealistic and experience a large quantity of joy. And when they tell you, and then the monkey had wings. When they communicated that unrealistic imagination, that thought to you is just so much, the whole world. It's like a Christmas tree. Another thing I believe we should have brought from childhood to adulthood is clear messages. And and I know this isn't general, but in the context of this particular experience, I remember it's very clear. And so many of us, we our relationships are broken because we just don't communicate clearly. I like you. Do you like me? Yes or no? I want to examine this text that we read, Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. But God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Let me just kind of give a brief summary of what's happening here. It was a garden of Eden. It was perfect. The absolute best mango that you've ever had, the best apple, the pineapple. I mean, lions didn't hunt the impalas. You know what I'm saying? It was everything in the garden was perfect. Was perfect. Everything in the garden was perfect. God said to man, go ahead, name the animals. See, what God did here was gave man a responsibility before he gave him a wife. Before God gave Adam a wife, essentially what Adam asked for, God gave him the responsibility to name the animals. He named all the animals: bears, pigs, fish, birds. And in doing that, he realized that there was a female lion for a male lion. There was a female pig for a male pig. There was a female ant for a male ant. I don't know. So. But as he examined his life, there was absolutely nobody there present for him. So God gave him a wife. And the Bible says that when he saw her, Kevin, remember you saw Tracy the first time, remember? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, he responded. Was very excited. Now, fast forward, sin took place. They disobeyed God. They did something that God told them not to do. There's only one rule, and that rule was to avoid that tree in the middle of the garden. Don't eat from it. That's exactly what happened. They went, they disobeyed. And when that took place, God came, and now God is asking the question, where are you? So many of us, when we experience conflicts, when there's an issue on the table, a lot of us, Andre, we don't lead with a question. A lot of us, we lead with accusations. A lot of us make conversations about right or wrong. I want right now to look at the principles, some principles that we can pull from this text. How does God communicate? How does he communicate? How does he talk when there's a problem? What is his approach? We're going to take a look at that in the text. So, principles of communication from the garden. Principle number one, communication does not stop when there is a what, everybody? A what, everybody? Communication does not stop when there is a conflict. Matter of fact, when there is a conflict, that's when you ought to communicate the most. When there's a conflict in your relationship, be it mother, daughter, mother, son, father, daughter, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, sister, brother, 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 sister, sister, regardless of the relationship, when there is a conflict, it should be, as Christians, our priority to fix. To come to a resolve, to find a solution. It should never be who was right and who was wrong. The conversation you ought to have should be from a place of need. What do you need in this moment? Let's evaluate here what Jesus did. Jesus knew. He knew. You know what I'm saying? They messed up. God is omnipotent. He knows everything. He knows all. You know what I mean? Yeah. God, he knew that they messed up. What that question did, where are you, was created. And this is why I was going to separate the men from the women, because we communicate differently. Men, or safe places are the barber. Oh, y'all don't know. The barber is therapeutic. Or a safe place could be a basketball court. The mechanic shop. Now, the problem is, we don't always get sound advice or encouragement from these places. But the place is safe. Asking the question created, remember, the place was already safe, right? Place is perfect. Man messed up. Adam messed up, right? They messed up. So the security that they knew was now gone. God did what? Where are you at? He know. God knew what they did. There was no need to ask a question that he already knew the answer for. But asking the question created a safe place for conversation to take place. Whether man or woman, whenever you lead with an accusation, all five fingers, remember, because they say you can't do this, because, you know, 4, 3 pointing back at you and whatever. Whenever you lead aggressively with an accusation, men more than women, but both from time to time, immediately feel as though we're being what? Attacked. Where are you? It shows concern. It creates a safe place. When having a conversation, especially in a time of conflict, don't just stop because you're mad, because the person is mad. See, what happened? When you stop conversing, you stop growing. Growth only takes place when the conversation continues. Right? So the first principle is communication does not stop when there's a what, everybody? When there's a conflict. The second one is communication should include what? Communication should include what? God promised him, man. God don't lie. God promised Adam, listen, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. You should surely die. A matter of fact, if you go and you look up the Hebrew word for surely, and you look up the Hebrew word for die, it's the same word. Why he got to say it twice? Where I'm from, they would say, you're going to die plus tax. There was no if, Andre, no but, nor maybe. This was the word, that the day you do this, you will die. The day he did this, the day they did this, they should have died. But God loved us so much that when we break something, you know, when you work hard, you spend a little money, you get your little son, your little daughter a gift, right? And the first thing they do is, Renice, they play with the box more than the gift. That's the first thing they do. They you know what I'm saying? The box they came in, they play with that way more than they do with the actual toy. But when they get to the place when they now start playing with the toy and they play with it very aggressively and now the toy is broken, maybe about 2 or 3 hours after you have presented this gift, you immediately run as the parent and you feel a hurt, you feel something, and you try to mend this thing together. You try to fix it. That was exactly God's approach. There was a gift of the garden, a perfect place. And they broke something that was perfect. And immediately God came up, where are you? Not forgetting the promise he made that you shall surely die. But understanding that we can't save ourselves if we had all the tools. And just as he gave a gift, and a gift of a perfect place in the beginning, it was now on him because of how much he loved us, how much he loves us, to really restore what we broke. There was no aggressive attack. There was no immediate death. What we saw in those three words, "Where are you?" were grace, an expression of concern. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to be lost. If God wanted them to be lost, he would not have asked the question, "Where are you?" Sometimes I know my son is in the house. I know he's in the house. I know he's in the house. But then it's quiet. And when it's quiet, something's going down. Something is going down. And so immediately what I do is call out, "Cairo, where are you?" It's a concern. I don't want him to hurt himself. 2nd principle, communication should always include grace. And I'm gonna say more about this here in a second. I got 10 minutes. All right. Conversations reveal the location of the relationship. Let's read it together, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Say it one more time. 1, 2, 3. If Kevin don't talk to Tracy, they'll never, ever be on the same page. To identify relational goals, you have to have conversation. If he don't talk to Tracy, it's simply me. Now, let me say this, right? In a relationship, it's natural for evolution to take place. You are going to change. Anybody single in the house? All the single people, just real quick. All right. You ever go in a relationship? Yes, Andre. Let's AJ. Put your hand up. I saw him said, "Mommy, mommy, don't leave me alone." The person that you meet that you eventually get married to will change. And if they don't change, it means they're stagnant. There's no growth taking place. Have you ever smelled stagnant water? Stink. Very stink. Matter of fact, it breeds mosquitoes, aka toxic. You have to converse. If you don't converse, so what will happen? You're going to fall in love with somebody, right? And no conversation takes place, right? Right? And then what happened is, on year 5, you are still in love with the person you met on day 1. But the thing is, the person you met on day 1 is not the same person on year 5. So now you are busy trying to love the person you met on day 1 the same way on year 5, when in truth and in fact, the person on year 5 has been through some stuff. They've lost their parents, maybe. They've probably had a miscarriage or two. They've probably been fired from their job. They've been through life. They've had to put up with you. So the love and the ways in which you will love that person on day 1, it does not suffice for year 5. And the only reason and the only way you know to love the person that you met on day 1, also on year 3, also on year 5, also on year 12, is that you identify where they are. And you only do that through how? How you gonna know? You gonna Google it? You gonna search TikTok? How you gonna know? How are you gonna know? You have to talk. You have to talk. And it's vice versa. So stop looking sideways at your husband. I'm talking to you too, wives. You have to talk. You gotta talk. Pause. Men, naturally, don't like talking. Let me say it one more time. Unless a parent or parents, unless they were intentional from the very beginning to ensure that child, that little boy, practice the expression of oneself and one's feelings, he will grow up understanding when communication is taking place, but he will never fully understand unless implementing effective practices and principles. He'll never get to the place where he understands effectively how to communicate how he feels. I'm gonna let you in my life real quick. Don't judge me. All right, don't judge me, bro. All right. Sometimes I have difficulty with certain things. And it will take me sometimes a week or two to really process how this thing that I went through made me feel. I know I feel some type of way, but I don't know. The frustration is, my wife will be waiting. She'll even ask me, how long is it going to take you to figure out? And I'll tell her, I don't know. And I never, ever commit to a time. Because it may take 2 weeks. It may take a year. I don't know. What I practice is intentionality. So what that means is I set aside time to really process my feelings. Right? It may be while I'm driving alone. It may be while I'm alone doing whatever. I'm intentional about setting aside time to understand how I feel. And if we don't do this as human beings, you are going to lose your everlasting mind. You ever open a box that is filled with balloons and immediately all the balloons just rush out open? They just come out. See, what happens when you don't take the time to evaluate how something traumatic affected you, what you automatically do is suppress every single thing. It's suppress and suppress and suppress and suppress. And one day, somebody just stepped on the wrong toe, Tracy. And that box just opened wide. And while it was just about not washing the blender properly, you know what I'm saying? It may have been about leaving the light on. You know what I'm saying? It may something very simple. Now you're no longer talking about the light being left on, but you're talking about everything. Because no time, you didn't take no time to really process how you feel. There was no intentional time set aside. I think they do this at my job. They have huddles. As a matter of fact, if you go to every single hospital at shift change, every single hospital, right? The nurse that was on staff, you must give a report to the nurse that is coming to work. You know what I'm saying? You have to do that. I believe, right, that every single relationship should have check-in. You should have a huddle time. Have a time. It's hey. This is literally. It's an emotional check-in. Where you at? How you feel? You still in love with me? You still like it when I rub your back? You should have a time just that you set aside. It could be 10 minutes, it could be 15 minutes, regardless of that. You should be intentional about having a time where you check in. If they do that at hospital to save lives, come on somebody. Your relationship will be dead if you don't check in. It'll be dead. You won't survive. And now what you're gonna have is two people living in the house. Not because of their commitment to each other, but because only their commitment to God. So they're miserable. They're miserable. They don't talk, they don't check in. And when they do converse, it is all fingers pointing. It is never, baby, what do you need from me? Here's what I need from you. That thing that I needed last year, I don't need it no more. I've gotten to the place where I realize I don't even like it. I don't even know why I asked you to do that in the first place. Conversations reveal the location of the relationship. All right, here we go. Choose not to hide. Character is built through what? Come on, say it. Character is built through what?
Vulnerability.
Now let me say this. Let me be very, very clear. In every relationship, vulnerability is not a right. I'll say it one more time. Honesty is a right. Vulnerability is not a right. For you to be vulnerable, the space got to be safe. The worst thing that could ever happen, Kevin, is having someone practice vulnerability in their home, and then you may have shared something that you went through, I don't know, when you were growing up. And then 2 weeks later, they're taking that same thing that you shared to cuss you out. You're just like your mama. You just like your father. I see your father's child. Vulnerability is not a right. Vulnerability, it is to increase the closeness of the two individuals in the relationship. And for that to effectively happen, the space must be safe. In other words, you have to earn it. You got to earn it. You got to show each other that I can trust you with my deepest and darkest emotions and thoughts. I can be trusted with yours. For that level of connection to take place, the space got to be safe. How do we see this in the garden? So the Bible says that, where are you? And what happened? What happened? What was he doing? He was hiding. Why? Because he was ashamed. He was afraid. I don't know. He was going through something. He was experiencing. Check this. He had never experienced that before. This was the first time. And so his immediate reaction was to hide. Because he ain't know what to do with this feeling, this big emotion. Don't know what to do with it. But where are you? Allowed the space to be safe. It showed concern. And vulnerability could now take place. Now, the vulnerability was, this woman you gave me.
That's what he said.
He said, the woman you gave me. But the fact of the matter is, there is dialogue. Dialogue. That initiated dialogue. That became consistent. I said 10 minutes. I got 2 minutes. All right. All right, just real quick. Let's write these down. I'm going to go real fast. All right? Write these down. All right? 4 keys to consider if you want to practice effective communication. All right? These are 4 things that you, and these are things that you, principles that you find in the Bible. Now, let me say this real quick. So whenever, what's the principle? A biblical principle is a practice that you see consistently throughout the Bible. A practice from God, right? Things in the Bible are things you should do, things we shouldn't do. We see a lot of things we shouldn't do consistently in the Bible. I am specifically talking about God's directions. How do we see God relating emotionally or relationally to his people? Right? So here are four keys to consider if you want to practice effective communication. Number one, What's that? Timing. Say it loud, everybody.
Timing.
Now, what I mean here, the immediate thought is don't have a conversation if the person had a bad day, if they're having a rough week, if they're feeling, distressed emotionally. You know, it's not time to have a bad conversation. Of course, yeah, that is absolutely true. You don't know that, know it now. Don't do that. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I've seen so many times couples have conversations too late. You should have been having this conversation weekly, monthly, daily. Now you're about to have a conversation with two lawyers sitting in a conference room. Your timing must be good. I have a thing that I say, you don't climb every mountain. In other words, there's some things that you deal with on your own. You know what I'm saying? There's some ways, Tracy can tell you, you know, there's some ways about Kevin, he's never going to change. There's just some things about him that, you know, and as his spouse, she now learns to adjust and to adopt. This is not something that contributes to the demise of the relationship. So it could be something very simple. Very simple. Maybe it's not folding the towel properly on the rack or something. Something very simple. You don't need to converse about, you know, you don't climb every mountain. But anything and everything that affects you deeply that could cause severe damage to the relationship, make the intentional time to talk about it. The Bible says there's a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Second key is what, everybody? Is what, everybody? All right, let's see what the Bible says. It says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with what? So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Now, let me say this. A lot of people, I've heard this before, a lot of people read this and take it to mean that being gracious is void of emotion. What do I mean? Now, I'm about to trouble you a little bit right here, right? You're in a conversation, you're having a conversation, right? Two individuals, man, woman, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case is, you're having a conversation, right? Something happened that you were emotionally triggered. You're having a conversation. One person is talking. The other person now, there's a physical reaction. There's a facial reaction to something the person you're talking to said. So in other words, if the person say, it wasn't my fault. That's all they said, right? It wasn't my fault. Let's say the husband said, it wasn't my fault. And the wife immediately, like, you know what I'm saying? There is a physical reaction. There is a frown. There is a, I don't know, the face. I don't know. An obvious attitude that is being portrayed. Let me say this very clearly. That is okay. When someone is emotional, they are allowed to respond and even graciously react physically emotional. That physical, that frown, that slight attitude that sometimes it throws me off too. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna tell you something. Let me just pause, put a pause. These things I'm talking about are things I'm working on. Don't think that because I'm talking to you that I mastered it and I'm perfect and everything. So please don't think. You know, these are things that I work on. Some of them I care about a lot, some of them I don't, but I still do it because I know, you know what I'm saying? It's good. This particularly I do not like because it's throwing me off. I'm talking to you and you over there like frowning. I don't like that. I don't like that. What you trying to say right now? But that's my problem. Right? If you cannot tolerate an emotional response, a physical emotional response like that, it simply means that you are emotionally immature. Got to deal with it. I can either focus on that physical response or figure out what I was trying to say so I can effectively communicate exactly what I need from you in this moment. We're emotional beings. Men, women, we are emotional beings. We're all emotional. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay. Truth. Do I gotta say anything about this? You know what I'm saying? Do I gotta say anything? Right? You know? Don't be fictitious. A lot of us get our concepts or ideals from social media, from movies, from things that are not realistic. Be honest with yourself. If you don't like it, say you don't like it. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to change. Let me say this. Do you know truth? Truth is more for the person speaking the truth than the person hearing it. I could hear truth all my life. If I don't receive it, it will not affect me. However, when a person is speaking their truth, when a person is saying, this is, I like this, I don't like this, this is how I feel, blah, blah, they're speaking their truth. They leave that conversation at the end with a sense of peace. This is what happened. When they think they're saving you by not sharing with you truth, when they think, you know what I'm saying? If I take that approach, you know what? I'm going to spare you. Now I leave with my antagonistic thoughts, you know, in the bed. I'm tossing back and forth. I can't sleep because this thing is still in my mind. Why? Because I didn't say anything, or I said the absolute opposite. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Honesty is for you as well. It's only for the person if the person receives it. Right? What did the Bible say? Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And that's the other thing too. Speaking truth, it helps you grow emotionally. The more you're honest, the more you practice honesty in a relational space, it's the more you grow. The more you grow. You start practice lying, you know what they say. And you shrink, y'all don't know? All right, cool. So I found this quote by Jimmy Evans. It says, truth without love, oh my goodness, just read this, just take a picture of it, do something, I don't know. Truth without love is me. Love with truth is what? Meaningless. Truth in love is what? Do I have it right? Truth without love is me. Love without. Just
don't take a picture of it. Write it properly in your phone.
All right. Yes. So it's love without truth is meaningless. Truth in love is medicine. All right. I'm going to close right now. The last one is trust. I hinted at this before. You got to, and this is the other thing too. I'm going to say this and I'll be quiet. When you ask the question and that question is answered, Why does that clock say -8? I'm over 8 minutes. All right. Okay. All right. I'm done. I'm wrapping up. Come start playing right now. I'm done. I'm done. So listen, when you ask a question, give that person the benefit of the doubt. You know what I'm saying? Give the person the benefit of the doubt. I've said this a couple times throughout, you know, many, many conversations, that I would not trust if I'm ever called to a jewelry box, you know, to contemplate if a person is guilty or not in a courtroom, and there is one eyewitness. Check this. If there is one eyewitness, I will not trust that. I will not trust that. I've been places before, me and somebody. You know what I'm saying? And we see the same thing. And we leave with two different experiences. In a conversation, when you ask a question, how do you feel? Even if you thought you observed a particular action that means something specific, when you ask that question, how do you feel? Or whatever the question is that you're asking, and that person takes some time, they think about it, and they communicate to you exactly what their answer is, what their truth is, receive it. Give them the benefit of the doubt. You don't do that, you know what you're doing? Delaying your deliverance. You're delaying your healing. You're delaying your reconciliation. So in other words, the actions that you've observed, let me get very real here. The actions that you've observed are simply displaying that which is a lack of love. So you feel as though this person don't love me. Because that's what you've been seeing, you know what I'm saying? If you would love me, you would have at least, you know, put the oven on low and put my food in it, keep it warm. Or you saw me dealing with the kids, you would have made some dinner. You know, you would have consider that I'm coming home and I'm planning on cooking, but I'm tired just like you're tired. Maybe stop and getting takeout. And then you get to the place now, you already had that conversation in your mind. How many talk to themselves? Yeah, who not talking to themselves? Yeah, right? Talk to yourself? Yeah. You've had a conversation in your mind. I know he didn't do it. I know she. And now you get to the place now we're having that actual conversation with the person. And the person is now describing something completely opposite from what you have observed. It is now your responsibility to watch this. Forget the interpretation that you ascribe to all the actions you observe. It's not on him or her. It's yours. You told yourself all them stuff. You told yourself. I'm done. I'm going to make a quick appeal and we're going to stand. I'm going to say, how many just want God to fix our relationships? Yeah, just stand. Stand with me. There's no perfect relationship. You know what I'm saying? None whatsoever. Absolutely none. And I'm going to say this too. This is my encouragement. It's my encouragement, guys. Really take it serious. Listen. I'm going to say this. I'm going to pray. Anybody here don't have a car? Or at least, all right, so there's everybody here with a car. Everybody here with a car. All right, cool. When you have a flat, what you do? AAA, some of us, all right? Change it, some of us. Let me ask this. Anybody here with a car that you've never taken into service? And if you have an electric vehicle, please keep your hand down. Because even electric vehicles sometimes need some tunings. So you take the car to get it tuned up, right? You get the alignment. You get the oil change. Why can't you do that with your relationships? We can't take, if you spend more time taking care of your car, you take your car to the, I'm gonna say this. If you can take your car to the mechanic and ensure that it don't break down on you when you're on your way to work, you can take yourself and your spouse to a counselor. And maybe that first counselor you don't like, find another one. Men, we don't stop going to the barber because we got a bad lineup. We go to another barber. Women, you go get your nails done. I was going to say something just now. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Whoa. Woo! You go get your nails done and they jack it up. You don't stop getting your nails done. You go to somebody else. Sometimes the relational checkup that you need is with a third party. Don't be afraid, guys. Do not be afraid. Untrusting. I hate being vulnerable to a stranger. But I've done it so many times now that I'm used to it. And I've identified it's very helpful. It's very helpful. You think praise and worship leader up here, pastor up here, you think they don't have problems too? You think every time you see, I'm going to talk about myself. Every time you see me up here, sometimes I don't want to be up here. Sometimes I don't feel loved. I'm talking about God here. Sometimes I feel like I'm praying and I'm praying for people. He's answering everybody else. And not, I feel like he's not answering me. So I put myself in these spaces where I can express, yo, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. And maybe the issue is spiritual, and sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's just me. Because I do not want to let go of this anger. I tell myself I can't do it. Why? Because I didn't grow up that way. I didn't grow up seeing my daddy getting counseling, so I'm not going to get counseling. I didn't grow up seeing my mommy and my daddy getting counseling, so I don't think we should get counseling. For your benefit. Bible says that he gave gifts. To some he gave counselors. To some he gave the gift of preaching. To some he gave the gift of singing. This space, listen, I'm done, I promise. This space is a trusted space for spiritual nourishment. But it can only be effective if we tap into every single aspect of it. One aspect of it is reaching out to those who has the God-given gift of counseling that can provide sound wisdom. A matter of fact, I found in those spaces sometimes they just give you the space to talk. And sometimes you talk yourself into realizing, I have been restored from this. I have been healed from this. God did this a long time ago, but I kept holding on to it. I haven't forgiven myself. For praying, Father in heaven, there are so many aspects of our relationships, God, that needs your help. So many aspects of our relationships that needs you to, you know, the glue that you have. God, I went through some principles you gave. But the truth is, some of these things, God, even when we're intentional, are very hard to put into practice. But I believe that we can do this not by our might, but by yours. So we ask, God, that you help us to adopt these principles and these keys that would affect our relationships in a very positive and a very spiritual way. God, that even in bad days and in bad circumstance, Father, that we can still see that we're loved, not just by you, but by our partner, by the spouse that we committed in front of people and you. God, just help us figure this thing out. Can't do this by ourselves. There's just some things we won't do because of pride. So we ask God that you remove the pride and whatever else that is actually hindering emotional growth in every single relationship. I pray, God, that you would remove that thing. In the name of Jesus, bless every single relationship, every single couple in this place, those who are watching online, Father. I pray that you send your Holy Spirit to provide the examples needed, that every single time we sit or stand to have a conversation, it should be with the goal in mind to be better. Bless us with love. Bless us with understanding. Bless us with peace. Bless us, God, with joy. Bless us with the spirit of forgiveness. We thank you, God, for what you've done here today. And we are excited to see the results tomorrow. The things that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the word.